you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like for you to turn with me, please, to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32. I don't know why that I've lived this long and didn't see this, but I do thank the Lord that He allowed me to see something in this text that I believe will be a help to us tonight, especially as we head into Christmas, the Christmas season. Numbers 32, we'll begin reading in verse number 1, and we're going to read several verses tonight because I believe it's important. Probably read down through verse 31. The Bible said, "Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest and unto the princes of the congregation, saying," you bear with me with these names, "Ataroth and Dibon and Jazer and Nimrah and Heshbon and Elilah and Shebam and Nebo and beyond, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel, is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore," said they, "if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan." And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, Shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up unto the valley of Eshol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he sware, saying, surely none of them that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he smote them. And he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. And behold, ye are risen up in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men, to augment yet the fierce anger of the Lord toward Israel. For if you turn away from after him, ye will yet again leave them in the wilderness, and ye shall destroy all this people. And they came near unto him and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our cattle and cities for our little ones. But we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them unto their place. And our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return unto our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. For we will not inherit with them on yonder side Jordan. I read that again today and I thought, well, at least they had a little bit of southern blood in them. Amen. We will not inherit with them on yonder side Jordan or forward, because our inheritance has fallen to us on this side Jordan eastward. And Moses said unto them, if you will do this thing, if you will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord, until he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord. Then afterward you shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel. And this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if ye will not do so, please pay attention to this verse. If ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Let me ask a question real quickly. How many's heard that phrase before? Be sure your sin will find you out. Some of y'all may be way ahead of me, but I'm telling you, if you read this in its context, it's not some sin that they were doing. The sin that Moses was talking about here was the sin of omission. It would be failing to do what they had said they would do in the fight against the enemy across the river. How many's with me so far? Amen. I'm preaching tonight on the most overlooked sin in the church. And that would be the sin of not going to battle and not fighting the good fight of faith for our Lord. Let me say this tonight. Two different individuals. Sister Jean was one, and then Brother Joe come along. And they both said, I can still see Brother Fred saying when he reached way down, when he's singing that song, when he reached way down for me, I was lost and undone without God or his son when he reached down his hand for me. I want to say tonight, I thank God for men that have fought the good fight of faith. Men that stayed faithful to the end. The Apostle Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. I'm going to say some things tonight that I trust will be a blessing. But I do want to challenge our hearts with the help of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Pray with me, please. Father, thank you tonight for your Word. I pray, Lord, tonight that you would help us to glean, God, truth from this Bible that would shake us to the very core of our soul. Help us, our Father, to realize tonight, Lord, what you're trying to say to the church. God, save that one that's lost. Strengthen the church. Strengthen the children of God. Lord, the church is made up of individuals and families. And Lord, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. I pray, God, you'd strengthen us in the good things of God. Help us, Lord, to fight, to put on the whole armor of God, and to stand tall in this generation. Not because we're somebody, but because our Savior is dear to us. And the souls of men are dear to us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. There's so much tonight. Let me just get started, please. First of all, when we're talking about the most overlooked sin in the church, I want to say it's possible to commit this sin because of great possessions. There are some people in the world that will never be involved in the work of God because they don't have time. They got too much stuff. And beloved, listen, before I go any further, let me just say this. We got to be careful of that as a church. The Word of God said over there about Laodicea, the Bible said they were rich, they were increased with goods, and they had need of nothing. That's what the Word of God said. Honey, I'm telling you, if we ever get there, we're sunk. Amen. We need to understand, listen, it don't matter how God's blessed us materially. We need His power, we need His unction, we need His presence, and without Him, we can't even breathe. We can't do anything without Him. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. The Word of God said here, they had much cattle. And they saw that the land was good for cattle. And so there was that temptation. And Moses could see it with them. There was that temptation to concentrate on the material, to concentrate on the temporal, and let the battle be left up to some other side of the river. Amen. There's a battle raging, folks. Amen. Amen. Brother Kevin, those little girls that are so precious to you and to me, let's stand up here and sing. There's a battle raging. There's an enemy that wants them, that wants to drag them down and drag them out. He doesn't want them in the house of God singing the songs of God. He wants to destroy their lives. I tell you, there's a battle raging. It's possible to commit this sin because of great possessions. The word of God said in verse 5, wherefore said they, if we found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession. And bring us not over Jordan. Let me say this secondly in the message tonight. Please pray with me and bear with me. Amen. There's so much here. It's possible to commit this sin because of a great omission. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Listen, let me tell you something tonight. Listen carefully. Please listen carefully. There is something that was given to the church of the living God. Every born again believer, not the pastor, not the deacons, not the Sunday school teacher. There, my friend, not the missionary alone, but there is a commission that is given to every born again child of God to go into all the world. The Bible said you shall be witnesses unto me after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the uttermost part of the earth. Beloved, listen, you want to know why? Listen, you want to know why God was blessing in the book of Acts the way that he was? I'll tell you why. Because it wasn't just Peter that was preaching. I'm telling you, they went everywhere, scattered out, telling people about Jesus. Amen. I'm telling you though, listen to me, in our generation, what is to be the Great Commission has become the Great Omission. Everything ought to be centered around bringing glory to God. And nothing brings glory to God more than bringing sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved friend, think about this. This great commission and this great omission. The word of God said, and this is a church at Corinth, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. I'm not fussing tonight, but I'm preaching. It's the word of God. There was a church, an early church, even at Corinth, that had gotten sidetracked. And they were carnal. That's what the word of God said. They were carnal. They were wrapped up in the things of this world. They couldn't see. The reason God left them here was to point others to Calvary. Point others to Jesus. The Bible said in Romans 13:10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that it's now high time to wake, will wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believe. You want to know why the church, the early church was so effective? Beloved, they sold their possessions. I'll tell you why. They were looking for Jesus to come, not next year, not next week, but today. They really thought he's coming. We got to go get our loved ones. We got to go get our friends. We got to go tell our people that Jesus is coming. There was an urgency. The word of God said, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Therefore to him, the Bible said in James, that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Oh, beloved friend, it's so easy to say, oh, look at that adultery. Look at that homosexuality. Look at that drunkenness. But I'm telling you, beloved, listen, the most overlooked sin in the church is the sin of omission. Not doing what God tells us to do. Beloved, listen, I believe with all my heart the Lord can take this and he can help us to be a help and a blessing to others. Was it possible to commit this sin of great omission? Well, let me give you some things hurriedly. Verse number 6, because of idleness. The Bible said, and Moses said unto the children of God, of Gad, I'm sorry, and the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war? And shall ye sit here?
Beloved, listen, I'm looking in your God-given eyeballs tonight, and I'm asking you a question. Are some going to go to war at Bible Way while others sit here? You say you ain't got no business preaching like that. I just read the Bible. That's all I did. Sin of omission. Brother John, you've been bringing it out in Sunday school. We think we're doing pretty good. Pat ourselves on the back. I'll tell you what, we're not doing pretty good if we're not doing what God told us to do. It's no accident, Brother Rose, that you stood tonight and the very first song in the service was bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. That's God's holy word. That's the purpose for us being here on this hill, is to bring them in. Possessions. I got so much to do. I'm going to tell you what, if we've got so much to do that we can't do what He wants us to do, we've got too much to do. The Word of God talked about here, omission, it's because of idleness. Omission brings discouragement. Look at verse 7. And wherefore discourage you the heart of the children of Israel from going over into this land. How many believes when we don't do what God, listen to me carefully, when we don't do what God wants us to do, our family will be discouraged because of it. The church will be discouraged because of it. I'm telling you, friend, even sinners will be discouraged. It brings discouragement. And Moses was telling the children of Gad, the children of Reuben, you sit here, you're going to discourage those that are going over there. Not only does omission bring idleness, it's because of idleness and it brings discouragement, but omission is because of unbelief. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I tell you why people don't go to work for God, because they really don't believe God's word will get the job done in somebody else's heart. They really don't believe God's still in the saving business. They really don't believe the same God that changed their life can change somebody else's life. I'm not trying to blow up my daughter, but I thank God for the words I heard out of her mouth this morning. You know what she's saying in her heart? God, you changed my life, and you can change my boy's life. I believe every one of us that are sitting here tonight, we should feel like this. If God can save me, He can save anybody. If God can change my life, He can change anybody's life. I mean, it feels that way tonight. But the Bible's talking about unbelief. The Bible said, verse 8, thus did your fathers. I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. You remember that? God sent the 12 spies. 10 of them come back and said, they're giants. We're like grasshoppers. They're carrying them grapes, amen. Those clusters. They said, yeah, it's like God said, but... I'm going to tell you something right now. That B-U-T is killing the church of the living God. I would go on visitation, but I would give somebody a gospel tract, but I would invite somebody to the house of God, but it's the most overlooked sin in the church. The sin of omission, the sin of not going to battle where God wants us to go to battle. Unbelief among God's people kindles the anger of the Lord. Look at verse 10. And the Lord's anger was kindled the same time. And He swears, saying, surely none of the men that came up from Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land that I swear unto Abraham. If you go down to verse number 13, it's repeated. The Word of God said, and the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel. You want to know what makes God mad? Oh, you say, oh, God's mad at adultery. I suppose He is. God's mad at drunkenness. I suppose He is. God's mad at lust. I suppose He is. But I'm going to tell you something right now. What we're overlooking is God is mad, angry at the sin of unbelief. When we will not believe God, you say, preacher, you said we. I'm talking about God's people. We started in faith. We're to continue in faith. I believe with all of my heart, if the only reason God saved me to take me to heaven, He would have took me the night He saved me. But He left me here. Because he wants me to be an instrument in his hand to point somebody else to the same heaven that I'm going to the same Christ that I trusted, to the same cross where he died for me. Unbelief, it kindles the anger of the Lord. Unbelief brings judgment. The word of God said there in the last part of verse number 11, and to Jacob, that they shall not see the land. Where did he swear unto Abraham and Isaac unto Jacob? Because they have not wholly followed me. Now listen, God just showed me something when I read that. He didn't say they wasn't following him. Ain't what he said. He said they weren't wholly following him. That word holy is not H-O-L-Y, but it's W-H-O-L-L-Y. Divided hearts, divided minds. God wants us to have a single mind and a single heart and a single eye. Amen. Beloved friend, tonight, unbelief among God's people brings judgment. Believing God brings blessing. Look at verse 12. Save or accept Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. Let me ask you a question. You say, preacher, I don't see what you see in blessing in there. Let me ask you this. What's the names of the other 10 spies? What's their name? Somebody tell me. Let me ask you something. Would it be a blessing to have your name written down in the Word of God? God honored these men. Not because they were somebody, but because they believed the God of heaven. And they trusted Him. They said, God's given it to us. We need to go get it. We need to believe God. Beloved friend, let me ask you something right now. If I had to ask you to write down on a piece of paper right now, what are you believing God for? What would you write down? Is there some soul you'd write their name right there and believe in God to save? Listen, I'm not fussing tonight, but it's the truth. You can listen when we make prayer requests. We are concerned about people's physical well-being. I told Brother Grizzle a while ago, I can't wait for Brother Brian to get back. I can't wait. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a desire in my heart. But I tell you, if I lay aside the desire for people's spiritual well-being because of others' physical well-being, I'm wrong. And I've omitted something that God wants me to put on the forefront in my heart and in my mind. Believing God brings blessing. You say, well, I don't know. Well, how about this? Was Caleb not 80 years old? Was he not 80 years old after the 40 years and all them others died? Is that right, Brother Rose? He was 80 years old. What did he say? I want that mountain. Hallelujah. Sounds about like Brother Fred leaving out of here, don't it? Amen. I just want to serve the Lord as long as I can. I want that mountain. I don't want the plain of ease. I don't want the plain of oh no. I want that mountain that God has given me. And his strength was not abated. The word of God said he had the same strength when he came out of the wilderness that he had when he went into the wilderness. You talk about blessing. Believe in God. Bring blessing. I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't know who's getting a hold of this tonight. But this has got a hold of me. I believe it can change a family. I believe it can change a life. Brother Steve, I believe it can change a church. I believe it can change a visitation program. I'm telling you, I believe it can get us, Brother Steve, where 12 o'clock ain't long enough. We're going to stay out there a little longer. We're just going to stay till God does something in somebody's life. He said, preacher, you're being ridiculous. Really? A couple hours a month? Come on. The most overlooked sin in the church. Believing God brings blessings from the Lord. You say, preacher, what should we believe? Well, how about this? When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. Our tongue was singing. And we said, then said they among the heathen. This is what they were saying among the heathen. The Lord had done great things. Lord, it's one thing for you and I to stand up at Bible Way and say God has done great things for us. It's another thing for the heathen around us to be saying God has done great things for them. He said, preacher, why don't they do that? Maybe it's because we're not communicating with them. It's one thing to stand in the house of God and say what great things God's done for you. When's the last time you told a poor, lost, dying, on their way to hell sinner how good God is and what He's done for you? What He's done for your family. Oh, beloved friend, I believe that He said the Lord had done great things for us, whereof we're glad. Turn again our captivity as the streams in the south. The word of God said, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. He said, preacher, why are you reading that at this part? Because if we believe that, we'll do something about it. We'll get some gospel tracts in our pocket. We'll go tell somebody where they can tune in on the website and hear gospel preaching. Hear gospel singing. We'll go tell somebody that we'd love to see them down at the house of God. Charity said the young lady that came this morning, she invited her weeks ago, told her in the altar, I'm so glad I came. I say hallelujah. He said, preacher, I just believe God has to do the work. I just believe we're laborers together with God. I don't ever believe God is slack on His end, but I believe pastors slack on His end a whole lot. God's never slack. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. Let me say this. The price for unbelief is unbelievably high. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look at verse 13. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and He made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. The price of unbelief. Now watch verse 14. And behold, ye are risen up in your father's stead. Watch this. Watch what happens if we will not believe God and we will not do what God wants us to do. The Bible said there will be an increase of sinful men. How many believe the Bible's right? Is that what we need in Bloomingdale? An increase of sinful men? Or do we need an increase of godly men? Righteousness. I'm telling you tonight, friend, pastor's not upset with anybody. But I'm telling you, I'm preaching a message tonight that God could take, Brother Lance, and turn our church upside down for the glory of God. If we'd get a hold of it and say, I ain't going to Walmart anymore without inviting that lady that checks me out to the house of God. I'm not going through the line at Hardee's or going to sit and eat breakfast at Hardee's and without inviting that young lady or that young man, the cook. I'm going to invite them all to the house of God. Beloved friend, listen to me. The mechanic needs the Lord. Everybody needs the Lord. Some of them may already know the Lord. You know what happens if you invite them? It'll stir their hearts to get them to doing what they're supposed to be doing. The price for unbelief is unbelievably high. The increase of sinful men. The fierce anger of the Lord towards Israel in verse 14. The Bible said He'll yet again leave them in the wilderness. And then the Bible said, ye. He's talking to Gad. He's talking to Reuben. He said, ye shall destroy all this people. If you will not take up arms, if you will not leave your children and your wives and your cattle on this side and get up and go on that side and fight, you will be responsible for destroying this people. Am I adding to the Word of God, or am I just preaching the Word of God? It's right there in front of us. The high cost of unbelief. It's possible. This is probably the greatest point in the message. It's possible to commit this sin because of great possessions. It's possible to commit this sin because of a great omission. But let me tell you something else. This is the best part. This is one message where God saved the best for last. It's possible to avoid this sin through great submission. Brother John, I believe it was Sunday before, or last Sunday. He was over in Isaiah 6. Is that right, brother? There was a great submission took place that day. Isaiah, for 5 chapters, he's telling them everything that was wrong in Israel. Woe unto them! Woe unto them! It's a bunch of times. You read it. Woe unto them! Woe unto them! Isaiah chapter 6. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw something besides our sin, something besides our country. I saw also the Lord high and lifted up. And there's another woe coming. But it ain't woe unto them. It's woe is me. For I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. God sent that seraphim, and beloved, listen, and touched them with that coal off of the altar and cleansed them. And Isaiah got up from there. And God said, who shall go for us? Whom shall I send? Here comes a great submission. Isaiah said, here am I, Lord. Send me. That's on the wall, I think, Brother Lance, over in the youth room. Hear my Lord, send me. You see, I can't do anything for Brother Steve, and Brother Steve can't do anything for me as far. We can encourage one another, but he's going to stand before God, and I'm going to stand before God for my submission. He's going to stand before God for his submission. Each one of us is going to stand before God for how we've submitted to the Lord. Great submission can cause us to avoid this sin in our church. You say, preacher, what do you see? What's this now? There's several factors. First, there's a distance factor. Look in verse number 16. And they came near unto him. Now this him here is Moses. He's God's man. Brother Rose, Moses has talked straight to him. He's not watered it down. He has given them God's message. And the Word of God said they came near unto him. There's hope for a people that will not run from the truth, but get near the truth. Listen, God don't want us to get close to Moses. Moses is in glory. But God wants us to get close to Jesus. Position ourselves near if we could hear his heartbeat. You remember in John 13 in the upper room, John laid his head over on his bosom. You remember that? I believe if we could hear the heartbeat of God, it would say something like this. Souls, souls, souls. That's why I died. Souls. That's why I rose again. Souls. That's why I've got a church on the hill. Souls. There's a distance factor. There's a declaration factor. Say, preacher, what did they declare? Look at verse 16. They came near unto him, and this is what they said. We will build sheepfolds here for our cattle and cities for our little ones. They've got something to say to Moses. That's not all they've got to say to Moses, but they said in verse 17, that we ourselves will go ready armed. Is that what it said? We're going to go ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them unto their place. And our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. I say, listen, beloved, no wonder the Apostle Paul said, put on the whole armor of God. We're not going to a picnic. We're going to a battle. If we only knew the conditions around the world for some of the saints of God. Can't even carry their Bible in public. Can't even preach in public. Can't even give a gospel tract out in public. I'll never forget this long as I live. Had the privilege to go to Mexico years ago. You could ride down the road in a 15-passenger van. There'd be as many as 34 of us in that van. One thing I noticed about the Mexican people, they're clean. I'm talking about women. Their home would consist of pallets stood up with tin across the top. They'd come out of there 1, 2 o'clock in the day. Their hair would be wet where they washed their hair. We'd cram on that 15-passenger van going to church in Mexico and never did smell anybody. I can't say that about the Jordanians. If you ever go to Jordan, you'll understand what I just said. I believe they're like them two old farmers. One of them said, I hate to tell you, buddy, one of us says deodorant's plumb wore out. It's bound to be yours. I don't wear any. Surely by this time he stinketh. But you could go down through there in a 15-passenger van and roll the window down and take 5 or 6 or 7 gospel tracts and throw them out in the wind. Some of them would hit the ground, but not many of them. They'd have them in their hands, Brother Lance, before they even hit the ground. And the ones that hit the ground didn't lay there. But I'm telling you, you could look in the mirror and they'd be picked up off the street. There was a hunger. We can't do anything about this world's hunger problem. Say amen. I know in America, America's not hungry for the gospel the way she used to be. But our responsibility is not for the hunger, it's for the feeding. It's for the sowing of the seed. That's our responsibility. There's a distance factor, a declaration factor, a determination factor. Joshua's one that said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to go ready. He said in verse 18, we will not return into our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. For we will not inherit with them on yonder side Jordan. You know what they understood? They understood that the man of God, Moses, what he said, he meant business. And it wasn't the word of Moses, it was the word of God. And they better take it seriously. I'm telling you, friend, I'm begging you tonight. If you can't do it here tonight, do it somewhere. Get on your knees. Ask God if there's an ounce of truth in what's being preached tonight. Ask God if you have a responsibility to those that are lost. Ask God if we're supposed to sit here while they go to hell without God. Ask Him. There's a determination factor. They said, we're not going to inherit with them on yonder side. Verse 23 said, but if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against me. Is that what Moses said? He said again. Really? When we get right down to business. By the way, God, just give me something. David. When I say David and Bathsheba, we think sin, don't we? Ain't that what we think? Let me give you something. Brother Gary, it didn't start with lust. It started with the sin of omission. Read it. Is it 1 Samuel 12, 11? 11 or 12? Somebody tell me if you know. Is it 1 Samuel 11? Read it. The first verse says, in the year that kings went forth to battle, David tarried still. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that illustration. Tarried still at Jerusalem. That's what he said. His problem wasn't just because he was a man and she was a woman. His problem was he wasn't on the battlefield where he belonged. But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord. Maybe you've seen this before, but I tell you, I didn't see it till last night. And be sure your sin will find you out. One more thing quickly, then I'll close. There's a dedication factor. Look at verse 25. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben spake unto Moses, saying, thy servants will do as my Lord commandeth. Brother Randy, they made up their mind. They wasn't going down this road. The price was too high. They made up their mind they were going to do what the man of God told them they needed to do. And the man of God was just telling them what the God of the man was telling him to tell them. Thy servants will do as my Lord commandeth. Verse 26, our little ones, our wives, our flocks, our cattle shall be there in the cities of Gilead. But thy servants will pass over, every man armed for war, before the Lord to battle, as my Lord saith. You remember me talking a while ago? I'm trying to shut up, but listen to me a minute. Look at the difference between David when he was not there where he was supposed to be, and in the valley with Goliath when he was where he was supposed to be. In that chapter, he said, for the battle is the Lord's. All you and I are doing, it's not our battle, it's his battle. We're just signing up. We had Veterans Day a little while back. Brother Jim, thank God for these men that signed up. Some of them may have been drafted. Thank God they weren't draft dodgers. They went on and done for their country what was right. But I didn't know it. But when I got saved, I didn't just get in a family, Brother Gary. I got in an army. We've got a purpose for being here. Amen, Brother Cole. Amen, brother. They were dedicated to the cause. I want to close tonight with, here comes God using David again. When the Bible said, if you will not do so, you'll sin against the Lord. Be sure your sin will find you out. I've heard that quoted out of context all my life. And I've been guilty of doing the same. There's nothing wrong with making application. Be sure your sin, whatever it is, will find you out. Nothing wrong with that. But in the context, the overlooked sin is the sin of omission. Not doing. Wonder how many churches they think, boy, they're setting the woods on fire and they don't even have a missions program. I wonder how many churches think they're setting the woods on fire. And nobody's ever told anybody in that church they must be born again. There's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. Nobody's ever told anyone that the only way we can be forgiven is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help me tonight. Where is it going to find us out? That's my question, and I'm closing with this. Brother Fain said this morning on the way out the door, he said, "You loaded our wagon this morning." That's what he said. Well, he keeps parking the wagon, I'm going to keep loading it. Where is it going to find us out? Brother Ralph, where is it going to find us out? Let me give you three things quickly. Number one, it'll find us out in our joy. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" How many can remember when you were on fire for the Lord, just telling everybody about somebody? They could save anybody. How many remembers that? How many remembers how much happier you were? How much more joy? Amen, Brother John. Amen. You say, "Preacher, you got no Bible for that." How about this? You remember when David got right with God in Psalm 51? He said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted unto thee." That's what it said. You know what that tells me? That tells me that was at least a period of a year between the time that David committed the sin and the time that Nathan stood toe to toe with him and said, "You're the man. Thou art the man." It tells me that he was missing something. It found him out in his joy. There can't be something between us and God, whether it's a sin of commission or a sin of omission, and us have the joy that we're supposed to have for the glory of God. So I believe it'll find us out in our joy if we don't do what's right. Secondly, I believe it'll find us out at the judgment seat. How many believe that's right? The judgment seat of Christ. Oh, there's some believers, they'll pop or chew and gum, grin from ear to ear, and say they're looking forward to standing before God. If you understood anything about the judgment seat of Christ and how it's going to lay us bare before Him. If we're disobedient, beloved, I tell you this, it will find us out at the judgment seat of Christ. I'm not talking about the great white throne judgment yet. I'm talking about the judgment of the believer. It's not the judgment of the believer's sin. The judgment of the believer's sin was judged at Calvary. Thanks be to God. But it is the judgment of the believer's service. And had Reuben and had Gad not obeyed Moses and obeyed God, then they would have stood there and their works would have been like wood, hay, and stubble. God said our works are going to be tried so as by fire. In other words, God's going to do some revealing in that day. He's not only going to see what we did, but He's going to reveal why we did what we did. It's possible to do the right thing for the wrong reason. Somebody help me. It's also possible to do the right thing for the right reason. And it's also possible not to do the right thing for whatever reason. The judgment seat will reveal it. Some will be gold, silver, precious stones. When you put them in a fire, they just come out purer on the other side. God help us tonight. And then the other place it'll be revealed will be at the great white throne judgment. You say it's going to find us out. I believe it will. Can you imagine somebody you worked with, somebody that lived alongside of you? I was talking to Brother Mitchell this morning on the phone. And actually, I was telling him a little bit about what God had given me. And he said, "Preacher, that's right." That's what he said. He said, "That's right." I said, "Brother Mitchell," I said, "I can remember as a child going next door. And it was about a third to a half a mile to walk next door. You had to come down our lane and then go up the road a piece. I can remember going and borrowing an egg till Mama, Daddy got paid. Mama went and got groceries. "Honey, go borrow me an egg. Hand me a cup. Honey, go borrow me a cup of sugar. Go borrow me a cup of meal. Is anybody here tonight? I told Brother Mitchell, I said people would drive 50 miles to a Walmart before they'd go next door. He said, you're right, brother. He said, we don't even know our neighbors. That's what he said. Let me ask you something. If your neighbor, there's a song, Brother Ralph, you never mentioned him to me. Brother Ralph, if your neighbor is cast off into the region of the damned at the great white throne. I think I got Bible for this. Listen to me. We're not judged at that judgment, but I believe we'll witness that judgment. I believe there's no accident, Brother Rose, that it's right after that that the Bible said God shall wipe every tear from their eyes. I believe it's going to be a sad day when people are cast into a burning, I said burning, literal, lake of fire. It'll be revealed. Be sure your sin will find you out. Is there anybody here besides me that could do better? Is there any here besides me that could say like the disciples, Lord, teach us to pray? Anybody here besides me that could say like the disciples, Lord, increase our faith? I hope that God has spoken tonight. He sure has spoken to my heart. And I believe the most overlooked sin in the church is the sin of omission, the sin of unbelief, failing to believe God and act upon His Word. The Bible said the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I'll just say this tonight. Nothing wrong with telling somebody what Jesus means to you, what Jesus has done for you. But try your best to share a verse of Scripture with them. If it ain't nothing but John 3:16, that's the gospel in a nutshell. For God so loved the world. That's you and I. The God of heaven so loved you and I that He gave His only begotten Son. You might be talking to somebody, don't know who that is. That's Jesus. That's the one that was born of a virgin. That's the one that went about doing good. That's the one that lived a sinless life. That's the one that died on Calvary. That's the one that's coming again. His name is Jesus. That whosoever believeth in Him. I'm a believer, are you? I've trusted Him of you. Should not perish. Boy, it's good to know I'm not going to go to hell. But have everlasting life. Tonight, I believe the Lord wants us to know, if we will not do this thing, we sin against the Lord. And we can be sure. Oh, Baptists, let me just say this. We like to glory, and I mean I like it. I love to glory in the fact that I'm sure I'm saved. But this one hurts a little. Just as sure as I'm saved, if I don't obey the Lord, just as sure as I'm saved, my sin will find me out. How many believes that's right? You say, preacher, you're over in that Old Testament. You read over in the New Testament, it'll tell you it was written for our admonition. It was written for our learning. Help us. May God help us tonight. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank You tonight for Your people. Thank You for Your grace. Lord, a lot going on this week. A lot going on in our church. Lord, we'll have the opportunity Saturday to go out and tell people about Jesus. Lord, I just wonder how many opportunities You'll give us even before Saturday. to tell someone about Jesus. Lord, it's my prayer tonight that you'd stir us up. Lord, it's my prayer tonight that you wouldn't just stir us and then we go away unchanged, but Lord, you would stir us and change us. Lord, we're living in a world that they're not going to give Jesus a thought this Christmas season. Help us not to be guilty of the same thing. Lord, I pray, work in our hearts, work in our lives.